Have you ever had that feeling while you're at work when you randomly just start having this lack of motivation and you become very easily distracted? Like the small things that wouldn't normally piss you off start to piss you off more readily. And if this goes on too long, you notice that you become a lot more anxious, anxiety set in. In different situations, you find yourself having shortness of breath. And all of a sudden, you start crying uncontrollably. Yep, that was me before I quit my job. So this episode, we're going to be talking about employee burnout. And more specifically, and in my opinion, more importantly, the healing process after employee burnout. So let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced employee burnout? Did you notice any signs or symptoms that suggested that you were in the midst of burnout? How did you deal with it? But also, what happened after the process? So think about that for a moment as we take a deep dive into this very important topic on this episode. Family, it's your girl, Lita K. Welcome back to another episode of the Journey to the Abundant Life podcast. I said of, I meant on, whatever. Okay, so yes, this topic, employee burnout, is something that is near and dear to my heart because I have personally experienced it. I'm literally, it's an emotional one because I'm literally in the healing process of the aftermath or the after effects of my burnout experience, right? So a lot of you, because you guys listen, a lot of you already know. If you don't know, you can go back to some of my old episodes and kind of listen to my story of, you know, being an employee. A lot of times on here, if you're new to the space, let me say it this way. If you're new to the space, there are three things that I mainly talk about. I have three pillars. The first one is me being a wife, right? Because that's the most important. The second is being an entrepreneur, because that's life's work, right? That's the path that God has put me on to bring my gifts to the world. And third is being an employee, because literally, you know, we got bills to pay. And so a lot of us don't have that, a lot of us didn't have the luxury of not having a job while we build our businesses and things like that. However, there are small circumstances, special circumstances where, you know, in my case, where I had to leave my job because this was the experience that I had and that what I was going through, and I have exhausted all of the options in order for me to stay, right? So I have exhausted all those options, and it was like the last thing you could do, Lita, is leave. So if you're, like I said, if you're new to this space, welcome. You can definitely go back to some of my previous episodes, and so you can hear my story about being a employee and, you know, how I was, you know, just an employee. I got promotions and all of that. Like, you can hear the entire story, the play-by-play, you know, getting a seat at the table, what to do when they ask you what you actually want. You know what I'm saying? All of those things, you can hear it. But also in there, you can hear there's a tone of, which I notice, there's a tone of dissatisfaction. And literally, I use the word already, but like some sort of anxiety that I was dealing with on a daily basis. And maybe not much to say anxiety, but more so pressure that I was dealing with on a daily basis. And ooh, first platinum nugget. This literally just came to me. This is not written down or anything, but as I said the word pressure, I thought about something Bishop T.D. Jakes said. I don't know, one of the sermons I've watched on YouTube a while ago, but he talked about pressure, the amount of pressure to create and cut diamonds, and the pressure that you have to go through in order for the purity to come through and to shine through. Like, literally, man, that's the supernatural, literally the supernatural, I guess, example or symbolism that I'm getting from my process, because that's literally how I felt. Was there was so much pressure from the day I stepped foot in there to the day that I left, and it birthed someone so beautiful that, like, I can't even, it's so hard for me to think about where I came from and to who I am now based on the stuff that I went through, right? So yeah, so anyway, y'all get me off on the wrong, y'all know I'm a PK, and I can at moment's notice just start preaching, but I'm not gonna do that. Y'all not gonna get me preaching. But literally, that's what literally just came to me, that supernatural understanding of pressure, right? And what it really means for those of us who make it on the other side. So this is an episode about employee burnout. And I really, really think that this is important, because I think that there are a lot of us going through this, but we don't know what the signs and symptoms are. We don't know, you know, how to handle it, how to navigate it. And if you have already gone through it, it's like, what happens next? Because literally, and I'm gonna get to that in the second part of this episode, but that's where I am now, is this healing process and what that looks like. So yeah, we're gonna get to that. But first things first, what is employee burnout, right? And of course, y'all know how I like to do it. And I think, you know what, it's so funny, because I think my husband actually got me to doing this, because when we first met, this is so funny, when we first met, he used to say, you're always using words wrong. And he would literally call me out on it, and sometimes it'd be in public, and I was like, look, listen, you got to stop doing that. If I use the word wrong, just let me know, right? So he had got me in a habit of just literally looking things up. And, you know, now we have Google and Alexa and all of that. But now we have those tools available to us. So I just go ahead and start saying, okay, let me look this up to make sure that I am actually classifying and reading this right, and, you know, all those things. So all of that to say is that I have looked up what employee burnout actually is defined as, or what it means, right? So employee burnout, literally, let me go back real quick, y'all, because I just want to see definition, okay, before we get into the signs and symptoms. Okay, so literally, employee burnout sounds exactly what it is. It happens to a lot of people. Come on, guys. It's actually this prolonged stress, right? So what I'm reading right now, and this is coming from, where is this coming from? This is actually coming from labmanager.com, which is interesting, because that's actually what I did, right? But it says that employee burnout is a result of prolonged stress or frustration with the job. Sometimes the cause is the work environment. Sometimes it's the morale, stressful jobs, lack of support and resources, and tight deadlines can contribute to burnout. Okay. So as I was literally earlier today going through it, I noticed that there weren't any true definitions of employee burnout, but there were actual, like, look, this is normally what causes this thing. It's a state of mind that employees end up in due to prolonged stress. And the stress can, like I just read, the stress can be due to work environment. The stress can be due to lack of support, and also tight deadlines, or all these things that contribute to that. So here's the thing, right? Okay, so Lita, what is your experience with this? Okay, we're talking about this and we know that you quit your job, but you're telling us this is why you quit your job. But tell us your experience. What was it? So here I am, right, y'all? I will say the day I stepped foot in this door of this company, even though, you know, it seemed like this blessing, and it's so funny. Here we go, the supernatural thing, right? It's so funny because, again, if you haven't heard my story, please go back to listen to it. Find the episodes where I'm talking about, and I wish I just had the list, but find the episodes where I'm talking about, like, my story and how I moved from Pittsburgh to the DMV area and got a job I never applied for. I actually talked about that on the last episode, but anywho, so here I am in this space that is like, okay, God put me here because I ain't asked to be here, right? And I get in this space, but he put me in this consistent, like this pressure cooker that was going to be on for 6 years. Y'all see how crazy that is? Like, wait, what? From the day I walked in, it was one of those like, oh, she's really good at this thing, but we can't have her coming up here and changing our environment. When I walked in, the environment was already toxic. Management was trash. Like, I'm not trashing the company. I'm just saying that my experience, this is what I experienced while I was there, right? Management, in my opinion, was trash. You had people who weren't, and it's hard because, first of all right, I know I have some older listeners, but listen, us millennials, right? We work a certain way. A lot of us are open-minded, and we're coming with fresh and new ideas. And I don't even think that's a generational thing. I just think it's a young person thing. Like, when you walk into a space because you're coming from the outside looking in, you're from the outside of the box looking in and saying, oh, okay, so if we're going to do this, there's a better way for us to do that. My motto had became work smarter and not harder. It's not that I didn't want to work hard, because some, you know, even when you're working smart, you're still working hard, but there's a better way to do this, or there's a different way to do it. And so, like, management at the time when I first got there was just like, who is this young black girl? I ain't really fooling with it. So she coming up in here trying to change stuff. And I'm like, yeah, because we're doing the work and we need to be able to do the work to the best of our ability, but we need the tools that we need, right? So all that to say is, from the day that I walked in, management was trash. The environment was toxic. And it was like, God, like, I know I didn't apply for this, but why the heck would you send me here? Like, yes, it checks a couple boxes. Like, it gives me the money that I need, that my husband is like, we need this to be in this space, whatever. And I get it. But it's like, why would you do this to me? I remember one of the first instances was I had requested. So when I got there, y'all know I have talked about my sister quite a few times on here, because she had become, in her passing and her transitioning from life to eternal life, she became this example of divinity for me, right? Like, there was nothing else left to do, because there was no more life on earth. When you're gone, you're gone. And so it gave me a different perspective of time and how I spend it, right? So when I got the job, my sister had just gotten sick, and we were in this process. Like, she was with us after she got sick, she was with us for 13 months before she transitioned. And while we, like, literally, I got the job. My sister got sick in October. I got the job in November, okay? And check this out for my supernatural folk, right? My universal, godly thinking people. I started this job 11-12-13, November 12, 2013. You see that, 11-12-13? Come on now. Anyway, so I'm giving you the example because one of the first things that I experienced that was like, oh God, I don't know about this, was when my sister got sick and I wanted to take some time to go see her, but I hadn't been there long enough to accrue any time to go visit her. Now, mind you, there was someone that wasn't there. They had just gotten hired not too long before me, and they were able to leave. Like, she gave them, oh yeah, you can go ahead and do that. But for me, the response was, I can't approve this. You don't have enough leave time. So it even got to a point where I was like, well, can I just do leave without pay or something? No, that's not an option. You haven't been here long enough. But that was my first, I guess, experience or this like awakening, like, this is going to be an interesting time here, you know? So I'm kind of setting the tone for you guys, because this had become the nature of the department through my eyes, right? Like I said, management was trash. The morale was horrible. Like, when I got there, were already in the midst of burnout. But then you would have people just randomly outbursting, crying. I was like, I never worked in a space where it was just okay for individuals to talk to you like you're a child. Excuse me? I'm an adult just like you, and I pay bills just like you. I pay taxes just like you. What you not going to do? And that's kind of, y'all, when I tell y'all there was so much, like, I told y'all last episode, the first, like, 2 years was like, Lita, self-awareness, I need you not to be popping off, right? You need to learn tact. But yeah, so here I am from the beginning to the end, noticing like the nature of this department, maybe even the entire company, is that employees are burning out all over, but nobody gives a damn. Nobody's doing anything. All the employees are too scared. Management has done a very good job of installing so much fear into the hearts of these employees that no one would speak up. And so here I am, God put me in this place to say, all right, you're going to experience this. I put you in a pressure cooker, but I need you to make some noise. You know that like whistle that kind of blows when the cooker starts to release the pressure a little bit? That was me. I'm the noise. So that was my experience while I was there. And it wasn't until, so all of this was happening, like I'm telling y'all, I had been labeled the rebel. I had been labeled like, not the rebel, to some people in a bad way, to some people like in upper management in a good way, like, this girl is really trying to solicit some change. I think we should probably pay attention to her. And I actually ended up making a name for myself. And when I say management was trash, the turnover rate for management was abysmal. So like, you had somebody that was there for at least 35 years. They get rid of this person, but we had four different managers in a matter of like a year and a half, which is really crazy. So it was that, and that's the other thing too, right? So I brought up, let me finish my first thought. So this whole entire process, I have become labeled this rebel. For those who were following me when I was doing the YouTube videos, or not YouTube, the Facebook videos, where I would be talking about your rights as an employee, that the fact that you have a voice, and without you, none of this stuff can happen. None of these things can work. And so if you want to change the atmosphere and the work environment, you have to play an active role in that. And so I had started this whole like workplace culture box type of thing where I got my coworkers to actually say exactly how they thought and what they felt about the environment of the work that we of this workspace that we were in and how it made them feel, without any names or anything. And I wrote it all out, emailed it to everybody to say, this is what we're all thinking. And ultimately we're all on the same page, but there were only like maybe three of us that wanted to do something about it. And out of the three of us, only one of us was willing to use our voice, and that was me. So, you know, it got to a point where it was like, is this even worth it? I'm trying to do something. But I think even though we weren't successful with trying to change the environment or the culture of the department, I think it made enough noise for people to understand, like, yo, something's going down in that department. And so not even just me doing navigating the way I did, but simultaneously there were things happened that I didn't have any control over. Like I told you about the 4 different managers in about a year and a half. There was also, I remember at one point, because I got a promotion. If you want to listen to that, you can definitely go back to that episode. But I got a promotion, right? It was like this double promotion. I skipped a step and got into like management. And I was like, great. I feel like I have a little bit more leeway to make some things happen, to allow some things to happen. And I got there. And it was almost like the beginning process of it worked out. It was like, great, we can probably make some waves. And then it was like, but you're making waves to the wrong. You're making waves to get the attention of the wrong people. And when I say the wrong people, I mean the people that can actually implement the change. That's who I wanted to get the attention of. Right? That's how I wanted to get the attention of, but you know, management was like, we not doing that. So all of a sudden, and I think there were other things that were involved with this, but all of a sudden, I want to say I got the promotion maybe about a month later. Not even, probably like 2-3 weeks later, I was starting to experience these symptoms of burnout, right? And okay, Salita, so what were they? This is crazy. Like, what were those signs and what were those symptoms? I remember one day just feeling overwhelmed, right? Like, first and foremost, naturally so, because I didn't think it was really anything, because I was like, well, I got into this position. The old manager that was there, they were trash. I'm telling y'all, I'm not like, if you're a manager, please do the work to make sure that you are a good leader first before you start managing, right? Like, there's so much work that goes into building leadership skills, and it is beneficial to not just you, but to your team. So please invest in yourself to find those leadership books, the leadership, you know, conferences, whatever you need to do. I think a lot of companies actually have leadership classes that you could take. Please take them, because understanding that not all managers are leaders. And I think that you need to be a leader first before you start trying to manage. And I understand that. And that's where I think a lot of my frustration actually came from. But anyway, that's your second nugget or third nugget. But anyway, so there was a process of me, I'm trying to remember what I was saying. Oh, there was a process of me trying to understand, like, okay, when did this burnout actually start? Because I was thrown to the wolves when I got there, right? You got to remember, management is brand new, totally new person to the entire department, the entire company, the entire system. Okay. There's my role. There were supposed to be 3 people doing my role, right? But it was just me, because the person that had been there for a long time, they also left, right? And upper management, so my boss's bosses, were also pretty new. So here I am in a situation where I'm the go-to person. I'm the one who's been here for 4.5 years and knows how to do pretty much everything. I know the systems. I'm really good at implementation and executing and really thorough during the planning process, because I know how things work and operate. And so I felt like I was thrown to the wolves, right? So when I say thrown to the wolves, it was, Lita, how do we do this? Lita, what's going on with this? How do we happen? Where did I find this? Who do I talk to about this? I had become this go-to person and didn't have the tools to navigate and set boundaries around that, right? Or for that, I could say around it, before it, right? Setting boundaries around my peace. Here's your fourth nugget. Please, please make sure you are protecting your peace. If that means that you have to maybe set boundaries and limitations, do that. If you have to, when you take your break time, literally go away off campus, if you can, do that. Like, there are things that we can do to help us deal with these things. Get used to saying no. get used to saying no and saying, hey, but I can direct you to somebody who can help you.
Yay!
All this work, I'm looking at people who I'm working with on a daily basis, and they're in the midst of burnout. But for my own self, because I was like, well, is this because of the nature of the job right now? Or is it just because, like, or is it the fact that I'm experiencing burnout? So I couldn't really, like, differentiate where overwhelming was coming from because of the new position that I had just started and the nature of the job because I was the go-to person. You get what I'm saying? So that's something to think about. But so I was feeling overwhelmed. That was the first thing. It wasn't until I was like, I think my therapist started telling me, look, Lita, you need to set boundaries, right? You need to protect your peace. Because if you're not in a good space, you can't get none of the work done. And if there are all these people that are counting on you to do certain things, you're not going to get anything done. You're going to break down, and we can't have you having a meltdown at work. So it was like, okay, how do I navigate this? What does it look like? So y'all know, in the intro, I said I started to have a lack of motivation. So not only was I overwhelmed, because the overwhelming feeling continued past the weight or the overflow of, like, actually that's not the right word. So when I was experiencing an extensive workload, right? I was overwhelmed. So normally when you're dealing with that process, you start feeling overwhelmed when you're at the peak of the hill. But if you stay committed long enough, it starts to go away. And there are these waves that usually happen with workload like that. What I noticed is that I never got off that peak. That's when I knew that something is not working right. Something is not going the way that I need it to. And how do I try to navigate through this and manage it, right? So I tried to not say anything for a while. I was like, maybe it'll be over. This is when I still was at the peak, but I thought I was going to be on my decline after this peak of being overwhelmed. But the peak never came, y'all. I mean, I'm saying the decline never came. I never got off of the peak of that hill of being overwhelmed. So as I'm on this peak of this hill feeling overwhelmed, I now started to feel stretched too thin. And I remember saying that to my manager, like, he would come in. I'm telling you, I would have a list full of tasks to do that he has already given me, and I'm in the process of doing them. Some take longer than others because, you know, when you got to involve other people and their time and they don't even work in the same space that you do, it takes time, right? So I am working on all these different tasks, and the nature of what the manager would do was come in and just drop stuff on my desk. Or come in and say, you need to do this, or we need to get this done, or there was a constant interruption. And so I remember saying one day, hey, listen, I'm feeling stretched. You're stretching me too thin. And when I feel like that, I can't get anything done. And so his response, the manager's response to that was, well, this is what you need to be doing, and we need to have this done. It got to the point when I was like, so here's a priority list. Where does this fall in the priority? Because you said literally 5 minutes ago that this was the priority, and now you're coming to say that something else is a priority. So I need you to place it on the priority list so I know what I'm supposed to be doing. So it was this constant, like, so even though I was feeling stretched thin, I felt like now that I've started trying to create these boundaries, which, by the way, was too late, but I started to try to create these boundaries. Now I look like these small things are pissing me off. And I'm not going to be a part of it. So I'm still at the peak of this hill, y'all, right? I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling stretched too thin. I'm getting easily frustrated. And also, now it's like, I'm done. I don't even want to be here. There's a lack of motivation for me to do any of this. because A, you're not listening to anything that I'm saying. And now it would be different that if I wasn't verbalizing how I was feeling and what was going on, then they wouldn't know, right? But I think it was even more frustrating because I was trying to get them to understand what was going on with me. So even though my therapist said, Lita, we can't have you having a meltdown at work, I remember specifically having a meltdown at work twice. The first time, I would have some of our directors and stuff, they would come in and say, hey, Lita, can we talk or is everything okay? Or, you know, you've been very quiet in meetings, or, you know, you don't really respond too much to a lot of the emails. Again, as the director is saying these things, I need y'all to keep in mind that Lita's still at the peak of this hill, feeling overwhelmed, feeling stretched to the thin, maximum thinness, right? She is also now easily frustrated, and there's a lack of motivation, but we're still on the top of this hill. There's no decline for me. There's no decline in the future because everything else is still moving the same way as if I'm not even saying anything. So I have the directors coming to me, asking me, and we have these personal conversations, and it just starts to spew out of me. I am crying uncontrollably. Right? The emotions, I'm at the apex of this emotional height. And it's a lot. I remember talking to like the big boss, and she's trying to understand what's going on. And I just started bawling. And I'm like, I can't do this and that. Y'all, it was like snot coming out my nose. Like, please give me the tissue because this is a lot. So I'm laughing at it now, but like some of you might be experiencing the same thing. And I have another session with my therapist, and she says, this is what we try to avoid. Lita, you are in the midst of burnout, babe. Like, she didn't call me babe. She was very professional. But this, you're in the midst of employee burnout. And we, because you were trying to navigate, now we have to switch the direction of like, all right, now we have to figure out what to do for Lita. Forget the company, forget the department, forget everybody else that you're carrying, right? We got to figure out what's really going on and why you're feeling like this. And of course, again, the picture of the hill, my little black self standing at the top of the hill, still feeling overwhelmed, stretched to the max. Easily distracted, agitated, and I have a lack of motivation. So few sessions with my therapist go into handy. And by the way, if you don't have a therapist, first of all, mental health is very important. If we are not okay as individuals, how can we be okay for other people? That's your fifth nugget for the episode. From yours truly, Lita K. Just make sure that you are taking care of yourself, okay? So if you need to talk to somebody, the purpose of a therapist is for somebody to, you can talk to who was completely unbiased. They don't know anything about you, what's going on in your life until you tell them. And there's no attachment there. It's very helpful, and they are educated, and they're educated so they can tell you and show you how to navigate your situations. So please make sure that you're going to go look for somebody and take your mental health seriously. That's pretty much what I want to say. So anyway, I have this meltdown, right? Complete meltdown and feeling all of these things. But this was the moment where a new symptom started to show itself. It wasn't that I just was crying because I had so much emotion. After the whole meltdown, there were days I would be driving to work and I would just start crying. Like, I'm not talking about crying like that. Tears would just start rolling down my face. I remember also getting close to work And it started that way. I would start driving on my commute and I would get closer to work and I would just start feeling like my heart would start racing. I would start panting. I would have shortness of breath. And that would happen continuously when I started to get close to work. But it was one day I was taking the same route that I would take to go to work, but I wasn't going to work. I was going to a whole nother event that was supposed to be fun and entertaining. And my husband's driving and I start like panting and I'm getting anxious and my palms got sweaty and my husband's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "See, this is the anxiety that I was telling you about. I don't know what this is about. This is too much." And so I'm starting to have these new symptoms, right? So let's recap on the symptoms. So I am overwhelmed. We still at the top of the hill, y'all. There's no form of relief. I'm overwhelmed. I am easily distracted. I'm stretched to the max. I now have this lack of motivation. I am now frustrated by things that wouldn't normally bother me. But the new symptoms are me being anxious, having shortness of breath, and crying uncontrollably. So that is my experience with it. But Lita, what did you do, right? What did you do about it? It had gotten to a point where my therapist, my close-knit circle of family and friends, and the confirmation of what God was telling me, like I would have my own personal, I still was having my personal time with God and what God was telling me to do, and also having that confirmation when I would go to church or watch sermons and things like that, was everybody was in agreement that, Lita, you need to become an advocate for yourself. You have done it for so many people. Now it's time for you to do it. And you guys may have heard me say this on another episode. I think it was like the beginning of the year, the first episode I did for 2020. But this is the context to me doing that, was because I was in the midst of burnout. I was in this pressure cooker, right? From the day that I stepped foot in here. But I was the chosen one to try to help move some things along and change some things, which I was able to do. But I had done so much for the department that I didn't make sure that I was okay first. And I was in this space where these things were happening, but no one was listening. And so it got to a point where it was like, you need to advocate for yourself and you need to tell them exactly what you need, right? If you guys go back to the, I don't know what I named the episode, but it was an episode where I was talking about when you get asked for what you want, make sure you have an answer. Make sure you have an answer. So it took me a lot of time to be like, I'm going through these things. At this point, I knew I was in burnout. I remember doing some research and talking to a few doctors. And they were just like, yeah, you're in the midst of burnout. And you are the case that you're the extreme case, right? The case where things can go very wrong very quickly. And we need to find a way for you to navigate that. So the first thing is taking some time away from work. Now, at this point, y'all notice this, I use my vacation and I'm always, you know, talking to people about use your time off because you need it. So I didn't have enough time off. Like I didn't have enough time to take off as long as I needed to. So it was like, all right, well, maybe I can, you know, do some other things. And y'all, in the midst of all that, it was like, you know, husband and I having conversations about babies, but I'm too stressed. There's so much cortisol up in my system from experiencing this burnout that I don't even know if my body's operating the way it needs to. I'm mentally exhausted. And like, I remember saying, I'm exhausted. But what does that look like? Right? What do you mean when you say that? People would ask me, are you getting enough sleep? Yes, I'm getting enough sleep. But even in the sleep that I'm getting, it's not enough. But I realize that it's a mental exhaustion. You don't know, because I'm going through all of this and I'm having all these symptoms and signs and everything of burnout, they're happening all throughout the day. It got to a point, these were happening even when I wasn't at work. Lack of motivation, I would come home and not want to do anything. I just wanted to hide under a rock. I was getting easily pissed off at the things that my husband was doing. So it spilled over into my personal life, and it was like, okay, everybody in your inner circle is in agreement, and you, God is already telling you, you need to do something about this, and I need you to advocate for yourself. I have trained you. I have given you the tools already because you were doing it for other people. Now it's time to do it for yourself. And you know, you think about it like, oh my God, Lita, this is going to be so good. I'm so glad that you're doing this. Like, this is going to be a good ending. Y'all, it did not work out the way I thought it was going to be. It really didn't. It blew up in my face, but I think it needed to happen that way on purpose, right? When I say blew up in my face, I'm telling you, at the beginning of this episode, I said I exhausted all of my options available to me. I asked about FMLA for taking off for stress, but the job wouldn't allow me to do it because it wasn't a reason for me to do it. Now, if I had a heart attack due to the stress, then I could take off. But because of the stress itself and nothing else has happened, I couldn't take FMLA. So I couldn't do it that way. I didn't have enough time to take off the length of time that I needed. And the only option was like, okay, can I go like part-time or something? And those weren't options, or so I thought. So I was able to negotiate something. This is why I talked about making sure that when you get asked, what do you want? You have an answer. Because if you don't have an answer, it's just going to sound like you're complaining, right? You just want something to complain about. You haven't taken, if this means so much to you, yet you haven't taken the necessary time to think about what exactly you need to help you through this, it's a problem. So when I say I was so far gone, they asked me what I wanted and I told them exactly what I needed. I got that, but it didn't help. The idea was that, all right, if I got this relief, I would feel okay, but I didn't. And that's how I know I was in too deep. I think that I had done exactly what God called me to do, to be like, why God placed me in that pressure cooker in the first place, is because I gained all the tools that I needed, right? And this is from a supernatural standpoint, but I gained the things that I needed. And when the time was done, the time was done. However, from a natural standpoint of just thinking about employee burnout, the question is, are you recognizing it based on the symptoms that I gave you, right? Based on the symptoms that we talked about during this episode, if you are experiencing these things, how are you handling them? What are you doing to find relief, right? Are you asking for extra time off? Does your FMLA cover just does it cover just stress, right? For you to take some time off? Can you afford leave without pay? You know, are you setting boundaries? Are you doing things to protect your peace? Have you done any coping, you know, gained any coping skills or tested out any coping mechanisms to help you maintain? Are you doing this early enough that when you first see the signs and symptoms, you're addressing it and not waiting? And for me, if there was anything that I can do over about this, I would set boundaries and limitations from day one. And I didn't do that. So I don't think that I'm the cause for my burnout. I think that that was one of the things that I could have done to make sure that I didn't experience it on the level that I did. I started to go to therapy, but she even told me, I know I told you about coping skills and finding a coping mechanism. She said, Lita, you're too far into burnout for these to even be effective the way they should be. You need to find another place. You can't stay in this job. You can't stay in this job. And you know what? Burnout is now a medical term. It's now part of medical terminology is burnout. It's now it can be medically diagnosed. But a lot of people won't see it that way. They're like, oh no, burnout is just, just this thing about how you feel. No. They have real life consequences and effects on your body and mental health. So I need you guys to think about that, right? Because if you are experiencing any of these signs or any of these symptoms that I had just talked about, you are in the midst of employee burnout, and you need to find out where you are on this spectrum of burnout so you can navigate it accordingly. Okay. So this is very important, but like I said in the beginning of this episode, what's more important is, all right, Lita, I experienced burnout just like you did. Everything that you said, I dealt with. But what next? So we're taking a quick break, and I will be back with the second part of this episode where we talk about the healing process of it. Stay tuned.